And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks.
Then came word of command. Forward march! And amid deafening cheers and hurrahs, the regiment moved down Vine Street to the river. The march was an ovation. The windows were filled with ladies, handkerchiefs waving, and amid tears and many God bless you boys, we passed through the streets and crossed the pontoon bridge into Kentucky. And we passed on through the city and climbed the beautiful hills which complete the 12-mile circuit around the three cities of Cincinnati, Covington, and Newport. We passed Fort Mitchell and halted on a beautiful ridge of rising ground just beyond. The men laid down on the grass, wrapped in their blankets, their arms by their sides. William Howard Neff, Pearl Street Rifles.
So sure you know about Fort Mitchell, and it's a city in northern Kentucky, but back in 1862, it was an actual fort, and it played a crucial role in protecting Cincinnati from Confederate invaders in that year of 1862. It was an event that had both sides of the Ohio River locked down and scared. The September Siege, The Defense of the River Cities, is a new documentary profiling that period, and director and producer Cam Miller is with us now. Cam, hello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Congratulations on this film, and what I like about it is that it's one of my favorite topics, not Civil War history necessarily, but we love to talk about Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky and our relationship, and sometimes there's hostility, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we get along well and work together on something. This was very serious, with very serious stakes, as Confederate forces were marching north to take Cincinnati, and Cincinnati had to use Northern Kentucky for its defense. So talk about what drew you into this story to bring more attention to it as a film.
Well, I've always heard the story through, you know, various historians and reading books. And I was doing my Old Latonya documentary at Rosedale Green.
The old racetrack.
Right, about the old racetrack. And Casey Head happened to be in attendance, and he came up to me and said, "Hey, I want to do a film in the Civil War." Like, you know, I've been thinking about that. And he's an amateur historian, really brilliant mind, great researcher, and he helped me put this film together. I'm really passionate about it. And he told me some of the stories that he was told as a boy. So tackling this subject was not easy because there's so much to it. So it was a labor of love, but I enjoyed putting it together because, I mean, like you said, it's history and we tend to repeat it.
And Kentucky had a very complicated role in the Civil War. It was a neutral state. It was a border state, which meant that slavery was legal there, but it remained part of the Union, although there were plenty of Southern and Confederacy sympathizers, a little bit in the government and in the general population. But Cincinnati was a mostly Union city and certainly a Union stronghold, and it never fell in the war. And this was the biggest threat that it received. And so what happened is the Union forces put up this huge defense across Kenton and Campbell counties. Talk a little bit about some of the areas that we might recognize today where some of those batteries and forts were.
Right. Well, you have, I mean, it's amazing what they accomplished in such a short amount of time. And you have Fort Mitchell. You have the Lars Battery, which is where the Boys Club in that area in Covington is. But my favorite is Camp King. I mean, that is near and dear to my heart. It's where Meineken Field, the Holmes High School baseball field, is. And that was where they came, and different regiments, the 104th, 106th, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, all of these regiments would come there, and they didn't know what was going to happen. So this is the place where they wrote their letters. This is the place where they, you know, had to prepare for battle, so to speak, even though nothing came because of the great defense that General Lew Wallace built. This was the place that I can't believe there's not statues and monuments at this place.
Yeah, there is, and that's right there on the Licking River, of course,
right.
And there is a monument for the Covington veterans who had fallen in various wars, but you're right, there's not really anything that indicates that there was a battery set up there. Of course, Fort Mitchell, the fort itself doesn't stand, but Fort Mitchell, the city does, named for it. And we talked about this before we started. Fort Mitchell was actually spelled with one L in the end because it's named for a man, Hornsby Mitchell, but they added an L somewhere in the down the line when they were creating the city. So that's an interesting component. I want to read something from that era because you benefited from a volume of letters and news reports that survived from the 1860s. But this is a quote from a letter from General Lew Wallace about just the sheer show of strength that was exhibited by Cincinnati and Kentucky in this period. It was an open message to, quote, the people of Cincinnati, Newport, and Covington. For the present, at least, the enemy has fallen back and your cities are safe. When I assumed command, there was nothing to defend you. The energies of a great city are boundless. They have only to be aroused, united, and directed. Paris may have seen something like it in her revolutionary days, but these cities of America never did. Be proud that you have given them an example so splendid. The most commercial of people, you submitted to total suspension of business and without a murmur adopted my principle, citizens for labor, soldiers for battle. In coming times, strangers viewing the works on the hills of Newport and Covington will ask, who built these entrenchments? And you can answer, we built them and helped guard them by the thousands. And if they inquire the result, your answer will be, the enemy came and looked at them and stole away in the night. So Cam Miller, I mean, really, I get chills thinking about that. Just the Confederates came up and they saw what was going on. Like, no, I think we'll just turn back around. They didn't even really fight.
No, you had a skirmish outside of Fort Mitchell, close to where the 5 Mile House Barleycorns is, around that area. And that was it. One person was tragically killed in action there. But yeah, they retreated. Bragg said, you know, he came and saw what was going on. General Heath saw what was going on. Kirby Smith, we need to, you know, get out of Dodge, so to speak. And it would have been the farthest north the rebels would have got. I mean, if Cincinnati's taken, who knows how that affects, what's the outcome for the war? And it goes to show you that by coming together, Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati, working together, we can accomplish great things. And like you said before, nothing was more important than defending Cincinnati.
And there was reason for concern because the Confederates at this time, just prior to the September siege, had taken Richmond, Kentucky.
Right.
And so the Union forces knew that these guys were serious.
Yeah, they hoisted the flag at Frankfort. The Louisiana Cavalry flag was hoisted in triumph. We got Frankfort. We're coming for you. So, I mean, they were on their way. This was not a false alarm. This was serious business. And like I said, it's amazing what we did in such a short amount of time.
And the flag, the Confederate flag, was also raised in Williamstown.
Correct.
In Grant County. So they had gotten close and they were having some victories. But the show of force alone put them back. And I want to talk about two more things before we have to run. The Black Brigade.
Yes.
Tell us who these guys were.
They were originally forced into labor. The African Americans of the city were forced into labor, put in mule pens, and were forced to do it. And all they wanted was a chance to volunteer. And once Lew Wallace, who would later go on to write Ben-Hur, which is insane in itself, his trajectory in life, he says, no, we're not going to treat these men like this. They're going to be given a brigade. They're going to be given companies. And then they go out and do their thing, and they help. The amount of work they did to build these forts, it's an unsung thing. And you can learn a lot more about it in the museums. Beringer Crawford, the Freedom Center, they do have great exhibits that talk about this, especially the Bramage Museum in Fort Wright. So it's amazing what they were able to accomplish in such a short amount of time.
This was also the period that the Roebling Suspension Bridge was under construction, but it was nowhere near ready to be used. And forces had to get across from Cincinnati into Kentucky in order to build this defense. How did they do it?
Well, Wesley Cameron, an architect in Cincinnati, he comes up to Lew Wallace and says, I got an idea. And he goes and gets some coal barges in the Licking River, puts them together in less than 48 hours, and puts this bridge together. Just, it's an amazing feat. I mean, this was something that was never been done before in warfare, this long of a pontoon bridge to get the troops across, because it was taking way too long with the steamers that were running back and forth from Covington to Cincinnati and back and forth. So having this bridge really sped up the process. But Lew Wallace was not really keen about it because he was afraid that people would, when they were forced to retreat, if the rebels came up to the river, everybody would try to jump on and tip the bridge and everybody would drown. So this was a concern of his. He would have nightmares about it on Madison Avenue when he went to his, you know, new headquarters there. So interesting that they got that built in less than 48 hours. Imagine something getting done in less than 48 hours.
With all the government's cooperating, they shut everything down.
Everything.
Businesses were shut down. Martial law, and everything was closed, and there were media reports. So there was a newspaper, certainly at the time, floating around with as much information as you can, and all had very dire warnings about what was happening just south of the area. But the region came together and fought the rebels off with just a flex, a big, big flex.
That's exactly right. And like I said, it was an amazing feat in a short amount of time, you know, 14, 15 days in September, that saved not only the city, but I will say the Union, if they would have got that far north. It's interesting that later Wallace and Heath meet at the Burnett House after the war and have a few drinks in the bar, and they talk about the strategy. and what could have happened. And, you know, they're bragging about what they could have done. So, I mean, that's another movie in itself. So we'll see.
Well, maybe you'll get a chance to make it. You need to look up Cam Miller Films on YouTube, and you can find this film there along with all of his other great documentaries. Cam Miller, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I want to remind you of something that we left out of our Debbie Harry interview. She's actually going to be in Cincinnati, and that's why we had her on. So she's going to be at Walnut Hills High School in Cincinnati on Monday, October 7th. At 7 p.m. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives Online, I'm Michael Monks.